I declare this open ordinary council meeting of the 14th Alice Springs Town Council, Tuesday 28th March 2023, open for the transaction of business as set out on the agenda. I welcome councillors and officers and members of the media and public present. I acknowledge the Central Arrernte people who are the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs. This meeting is being recorded and will be placed on council's website. By speaking at a council meeting, you agree to being recorded. Please ensure that if and when you speak at the council meeting, you're respectful to others and use appropriate language at all times. Alice Springs Town Council accepts no liability for any defamatory or offensive remarks or gestures made during the course of this council. We'll also acknowledge my father-in-law's in the gallery today. Thanks for coming, Barry. And told him we all get along, so no one embarrassed me in front of him today. Deputy Mayor, looking at you for that one. I welcome the Christian Family Centre to present the prayer for today's meeting. Doesn't look like they're here. Are there any apologies, Mr. CEO?
Apologies from Councillor Little and Councillor Morris, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Can I have someone move to accept Councillor Little's apology? Moved, Deputy Mayor, seconded Councillor Coffey. All those in favour to accept? Thank you. Can I have someone move to accept Councillor Morris's apology? Moved, Councillor Brown, seconded Councillor Hopper. All those in favour? Carried. I welcome the members of the public in the gallery. Are there any questions from members of the public about items on the agenda or any other business of council? Please come forward, use the microphone and just state your name clearly for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. My name's Hal Duell and I have two questions if I could please. One, is there any chance that council can somehow encourage, if not facilitate, a reactivation of the Advocate newspaper or any physical newspaper in Alice Springs today? We're hurting without it.
I agree. There are some conversations with some regional newspapers around the country and they've looked into Alice Springs. They've been to Alice Springs to have the conversation. We do have the NT News down here. I know it's not as frequent as the Advocate, but I suppose it's about privatisation and we have the conversation with many regional newspapers about expanding into Alice Springs. Certainly agree that we're hurting as a town without a newspaper.
Is there any forward movement on that? Any hope that we can actually get? Because the NT News is Darwin. Any chances without sort of putting you too much on the spot?
No, I think we're having the conversation. The company has come to Alice Springs. They've expressed the desire to come back and look again. And I think that will be hopefully by earlier than the middle of the year. So just watch this space.
Very good. Thank you. One other question, if I could, please. Now, this, you may be able to help me or not, but has council heard anything to the effect that due to the current problems in Alice Springs, there's no need to go on about them, that either Kmart or Target or both are actually considering leaving town?
I did see that on social media yesterday. I spoke to the Chief Operating Officer of Chamber of Commerce. She did say that. She was misquoted to a certain point. I think many chains in Alice Springs, they're finding it difficult for staff, but I have can confidently say that at this point I don't think that they are looking at closing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Howe. Any other questions from any member of the public? No. Thank you. Do any councillors wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on the agenda pursuant to Section 115 of the Local Government Act? No. In accordance with Section 101 of the Local Government Act 2019, I present the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on Tuesday, 28th of February 2023 for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move confirmation of these minutes as a correct record of the proceedings at the meetings to which they relate? Moved. Deputy Mayor, seconded. Councillor Batar. Any business arising from those minutes? All those in favour to support the minutes? Any against? It's carried. Councillor Hopper. I was waiting.
So, well, we had an amendment because the minutes were incorrect. They didn't have the start of that motion around Ross Park. Is that gone
sure.
through?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be changed. That'll carry over. Was that all, Councillor Hopper? Yeah, thank you. I present my Mayor's report and ask for a motion that the report be received. Move, Deputy Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Batar. And before I go to questions, I will just touch on the AFL forum that was participated in. Wasn't completely happy with how the forum was run, but I will just say at the moment, the outcome of the forum was that the AFLNT are going to provide Alice Springs Town Council with a draft of what their season may look like, noting full well they are fully understanding of our current resolution as it stands. They have said that day, and they've had correspondence with the CEO, that they will come back to the council within coming weeks to provide an update of how they think the season will work. But apart from that, there's any further correspondence or anything that has happened since then. So I do thank the Deputy Mayor and Councillor Banks, who were at the forum as well. And yes, is there anything else on the Mayor's report to be discussed? Councillor Banks.
Thank you, Mayor. If I could ask a question that relates to a number of your items. So I just would like to touch on 1.7 around the SORIC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd just like to get is just an overview of where we're at as a lead organisation in the current conversation of our issues facing the town. So in particular, relating to the Northern Territory Government, we've got meetings with the Chief, 1.7, and then also other representatives, 1.2, our local member for Araluen, Robin Lamley. And then also from the national level, we have got in relation to the 1.9 justice reinvestment, which we would hope would be targeting solutions-based planning going forward, and how that relates to 1.5 meeting with the member for Lingiari, Marianne Scrimgeour, and also 1.23 Darrell Anderson as a federal representative, as a regional controller. So, Mayor, just wanting to get a bit of an understanding around the conversations, where council's at in regard to pushing forward the issues that are facing the public as a matter of urgency.
Thank you. I'll try to piece that together. So the SORIC, as I've touched on, you know, the overarching piece of that was set up before the controller was put in, and the person who was leading that has now moved. She's not leading that anymore, so it is sort of up in the air. I'm happy to say that I think, you know, it'll go through some changes. whether SORIC does become the next strategic piece, I think we're waiting to see what that looks like, because as far as I'm concerned, SORIC should be for us to implement what's in the plan, and the other strategic things need to be had at a different conversation. But look, I think people are well aware of the challenges in there, and if you go back to the controller with Darrell, that sits to the side of SORT, or SORIC, and that is about the $250 million commitment from the Prime Minister. My understanding is that that will be separate to SORT, completely different. And so Darrell's doing a lot of work, and we've had the discussion that I think it would be prudent that Miss Anderson does come to present to Council, and we can have those conversations of what that $250 million spend looks like. And the meeting with Robin, I try to catch up with all the local members often, more about what's happening in their electorate rather than just the antisocial stuff. And that was around a park upgrade at Walmulla, the Newland Park upgrades that for the consultation and that sort of stuff. But look, I think we've got many a motion that say where we are currently with the crime and antisocial stuff, and we certainly take that wherever we can.
Thank you. It is good and useful to know. On the SORIC, so I referenced just splitting the difference between the Northern Territory responsibilities and the federal, and given that the components to the territory are the SORIC, when meeting with the Chief, are we getting the support or the commitments around how we can work in partnership. So if SORIC's sitting kind of like a bit in the air, we have given Chamber support in order to make sure that you're our representative and going forward. At what point, do you think there's a point that we need to review that, or are we just going to wait and see where that lands? Has the Chief Minister been in conversation with you to assure that the issues that are facing town are at the front and centre of the needs of the government in partnership with council? Is there conversations around that?
Yeah, so the terms of reference are up for review, I think, next month or the month after. And out of sort, it does, it is a, I suppose, not a parliamentary committee, but it is,
yeah.
Reports go to Cabinet for approval or delegation. On the side note to that, Cabinet are in Alice Springs in April, and I think I've expressed the desire for the Chief again, for the Council to meet with full Cabinet once again, so we can have all of those discussions. And I think not just about specific areas, you know, we've got stuff with infrastructure, we've got stuff with education, all of those pieces, but just the overarching stuff to meet with Cabinet to address that.
Yeah, that's useful. And then also, like, understanding the executive powers of both the state, the federal and territory governments. The Justice Reinvestment Component 1.9 is really the federal's lead outreach to us as a community. So the is there conversations with the controller around, do they interlink, Mayor, the 1.9 to the 1.23? Because I know that Minister Burney's kind of leading the justice reinvestment on the federal level, I believe, and I guess Marianne Scrimshaw would be supporting that on a territory base.
It's the justice reinvestment's a bit, I don't want to say convoluted, but it sits with the Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, and it is run, so it's run by the Attorney General's department, but it does interlink with NIAA through Minister Burney's office. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's absolutely overlapping, and especially with the controller as well. But I think it is about trying to make some of these balls that are in the air land, because there's a lot of things happening right now.
Well, thank you for that update. And I guess just to convey that I hope that we're able to, through you, still put the pressure on their cabinet structures of both territory and federal to make sure that they meet regularly, that they know that they have the ear of the mayor and they have the support of a council to make sure that our antisocial and crime issues that are escalating further are a matter of priority to us. So thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, so just following on from the points that Councillor Banks makes, which are valid, very valid, I think the critical thing now is the work that's being done by the regional controller and the Commonwealth around that significant amount of funding that's there. And if that's sitting separate to SORD, which I understand that it is, and it's probably good to be sitting separately, I think that's the piece that we really need to get engaged in and involved in. So it'd be really good to get Darrell here to present to us and have some discussion about our views on our input into that. And, you know, I remember the Commissioner of Police talked about the Alice Springs Transformation Plan when he talked to us a while back. And, you know, that had a steering committee of five people, or five sort of orgs slash people on it, Australian government, NT government, local government, and then it had Laura Tipper and Tungajia. So, and those decisions were made locally through that committee for that funding. So I think that's the key point, that decisions are made, that we have input into some of the decisions, that decisions are made locally. I mean, I know there's all the procurement rules and you know, Commonwealth may have to actually sign off on it, but that's, I think, where we should be pushing, is that the input's from locals, because we know what needs to be done, and then they actually listen to us, and it's not then changed by bureaucrats in Canberra or in Darwin, and then we can sort of oversee the implementation through a small steering committee or something similar. So those governance arrangements are critical, I think, moving forward.
I agree, and I go back to one of the answers, that I think the balls are up in the air about what SORT looks like, what the controller looks like, and that conversation needs to be had, because Seems like we've got all the chefs, lots of chefs in the kitchen all cooking the same meal, and it's just becoming, and they're all meeting at the same times for different things. I certainly think that it could be a bit cleaner, but I'll take on board that. Councillor Coffey, anything further for the Mayor's report? No, moved Deputy Mayor, second to Councillor Batar. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Orders of the day. Elected members and officers provide notification of matters to be raised in general business. Councillor Brown, you have two general business.
Yes, I did. I had one on our rural roads around fire breaks. And I wanted to talk about, well, in particular, the baseball ground, but sporting ground maintenance. Just a brief discussion around variations in levels.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. So I received a call last night, actually, and mentioned to you earlier. I think I'd like to have a very brief discussion about giving some support to a family that is in distress as a result of a fire over at Conrose Drive where the house was burnt down. So I'll just talk about that then, please.
Thank you. Councillor Batar.
I might more fit into a question without notice. It's just around more information about what was said, that council is supporting the fire service in doing some promotional work around maintaining fire breaks and maintaining property.
We'll just leave it in general business. Thank you. Councillor Coffey.
And similar, like, I'd like to have a broader discussion about the Bushfire Management Act and our responsibility / contribution to the bushfire risk.
No worries. This might all tie up into one discussion with Councillor Brown. I think we might be able to tie it all into one. All right. Thank you. Any further orders? No. Mr. CEO, are there any memorials?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chris Connellan.
Thank you. And I will welcome and acknowledge Julie and Samantha, who are in the room today. Thank you. So Chris Connellan Memorial. Chris was born in Alice Springs in 1948, started grade one at the Catholic Convent in Bath Street, followed by the Bush School, Narratuma Station. He was then sent to boarding school at Ross Trevor Primary in Adelaide and later to Xavier College in Melbourne, going on to complete an economics degree at Melbourne University. Chris spent many years jackarooing and working in the stock camp, Narratuma, from a very early age. Over the years, while working and observing the land, he developed a passion and reputation for his land and stock management and was the inaugural winner of the Northern Territory Landcare Award Primary Producer in 1990. Private and humble, Chris carved his own unique path, even though he was always in his father and brother's shadow. Strong supporter of the community, Chris was involved with many territorial organisations, such as the Connellan Airway Trust, Central Australian Aviation Museum, the Northern Territory Cattlemen's Association, the Royal Flying Doctor Service, Central Land Management Association, the Alice Springs Show Society, Alice Springs Gliding Club, Sleeping Hollow Yacht Club, and more recently, Land for Wildlife and the Field Naturalist Club. In 1992, Chris moved his family to central Queensland for his children's education. During this time, he continued to develop and improve Narratuma with assistance from managers and staff. Chris later moved back to Narratuma, where he remained until 2015. Chris then devoted the following years in developing the Mount Zeal Wilderness Park. It's a place for the wide-reaching community to experience and value the Red Desert country, which defined his life. He particularly supported the education and well-being of the Mbungara community, who the Connellan family have been friends and neighbours with for four generations. It was during this time, developing Mount Zeal, that he wrote and published his first book, The Way It Was, about his experience of growing up in Alice Springs as a child. Chris had profound respect and connection with the Aboriginal community at Mbungara, always seeking to come from a position of wanting to learn and understand through listening and sharing. Chris enjoyed working with the community, Mbungara School, to develop many social, learning-based excursions to Mount Zeal Wilderness Park. Mbungara kids were so proud to show their school work and demonstrate their sporting skills. Chris had an endless knowledge of the Alice Springs cultural, social, economic development, but particularly a great respect for Aboriginal communities. Chris was farewelled by families and friends on March 3, 2023, where he was fondly remembered by his family and community for outrageous storytelling, contagious laughter, a vibrant sense of humour, and his determination. He provided practical and motivational support to those who worked hard and showed true character and vision, while ever stoic about his own challenges in life. We want to thank Chris's partner, Julie Sutherland, for providing this memorial. Thank you. If we could all rise for a minute's silence. Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. CEO, any petitions?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any notices of motion?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Finance report. Any questions regarding the finances? Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. On page 204, table 2, the capital expenditure, actual versus budget, the negatives against the Hiluxes and Weybridge indicator, is that that money was allocated and then... Sorry, if you can explain the negatives against those items.
In January, on page 4, we've got the negatives for the Hilux ute, the line marker ute, ASOLC ute,
and the heat pump, which I believe we were getting a credit for, maybe.
I think through the chair, I think that's just a rollover credit, so it's just an accounting thing because the purchases were all done the last financial year, they've rolled over some of the budget, so it's just basically the rollover money from last year is what I think that is.
Thank you. And a question on table 5, the highest 20 contractors. Cleanaway, there's the $54,000 for waste. In January, it was a similar amount, $49,000. In February, it was $124,000. I'm just wondering if that was for a particular, if it's not confidential reason.
Director Brennan.
Through the chair, we'll take that question on notice.
Thank you. And I think that's it for finances.
Thank you. Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. I've got a few, so I might just try and go through them one by one, perhaps. So page 201, the income and expense statement. So other operating expenses, I'm just a bit worried about this when I read it. So we've expended $5.9 million of an annual approved budget of $5.1 million. So when I look back, and there's an... I note there is a note there, note 7, about why that is high, although there's not much in the way of specifics. Looking back at the end of December... operating expenses, other operating expenses were $4.5 million. Then it rose to $5.4 at the end of January and now $5.9. So if we continue on at this rate for the rest of the financial year, then that'll increase another $2 million and be nearly $8 million of expenditure in other operating expenses at the end of the financial year, with a budget still of 5.189 million. And of course, even at this time last year, our year-to-date actual in February 22 was only 3.4 million and it's now 5.9. So I suppose I just wanted to get some more detail about that. Why is that? Should we be concerned about it? Do we need to make any adjustments? And what's the likelihood that that will blow out to nearly 8 million by the end of this financial year?
Director Brennan?
So we have had some substantial costs. The fees were in software upgrades. So when we upgrade the software, there is an initial fee that isn't ongoing. However, due to the implementation, we have had additional costs. There's also been a large payment made in the facility maintenance of the aquatic centre. In terms of the pool operations and the maintenance. And also our legal fees were a lot higher than what was budgeted for and forecast. So the Anzac Oval sale, procurement of ICT, we have had advice on that to make sure that we make good decisions. There has been some policy reviews. We also have had a rates consultant come in and do some work with our rates team and also the EA negotiations. In terms of, we will have to do further analysis and see if the trend will continue and any large expected amounts that we might incur for the rest of the financial year. We would have to get back to you on that.
Councillor Coffey.
So I wonder if, with that, Mayor, I think that would be good if we could get a more detailed breakdown of what we've spent so far and then what we're anticipating to spend and what our budget, what our actual expenditure is projected to be by the end of the financial year, because I do think then we should look at that and consider what decisions, if any, we need to make taking that into account.
Thank you. We do our second mid-year review in April, is that correct? Are we doing a second mid-year budget review in April?
Yes, that is correct. We need to do a revised budget before the 30th of April.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry. I mean, just because that is, there'll be lots of questions. That come to a forum before it'll come for ratification here? Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Coffey?
So page 206, and that's the member CEO credit card. So I just want to query the transactions that are outlined there for Theresa Broderick. Because by my calculations, it doesn't add up to anywhere near 8,981. Maybe I can't add up. But are you able to advise what the issue is there?
I'll just get our Manager of Finance, Lily Diowen, to answer that question.
Good morning. Just with regards to that one, we did also, just wasn't printed, but there was an error with the printing on that one, so I apologise for that one. So it's just with the formatting that when it was uploaded, some of the items was actually not there, but I have since printed up a new one and probably can just email that through when I email the revision to the council.
So is the amount 8,981, is that the accurate bit or are the transactions the accurate part in our book?
So, has it been 8,000?
We'll just take that on notice and send through the corrected amounts. We'll be able to confirm that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Coffey?
Yeah, so page 215. And this is a report that goes to our investments and our term investments, and it's good to see that we're getting some better interest rates and earning a bit of money on our capital. But I just looking at the graphs below, because it doesn't quite ring true to me. because in some of the sort of discussion, it talks about that we are earning more on our earnings, which is great, and that's increasing. But then when you look at the banking interest earnings in that left-hand graph, the budget year-to-date grows every month. So if that's cumulative, then you'd expect that to be true, I think. But the actual year-to-date, it's going up and down, which in my mind doesn't make sense if we're getting better terms than what we were previously. And so is that a month? It almost looks like the actual year-to-date is just a monthly as opposed to cumulatively. Is that right?
Director, manager?
Yes, that's correct. The amounts in the graph are per month. They're not cumulative.
On the budget portion, we basically use the budget and spread that over onto 12 years. That's why you see a cumulative effect from 1 month to 2 months to 3 months, whereas the actual actual interest is the actual interest that we're earning as of date.
And so the actual is the actual interest that we've earned. So
yeah.
Should we be concerned that it's under the budget, that we're not meeting our budget, or are you saying that?
No, I'd say that's, we should have a cumulative as well. Because if you added the actuals up, we're substantially over what we've budgeted for.
Okay.
So I think that the small adjustment would be, in one report we're reporting it two different ways. So
yeah.
I think we've got to decide which one it is, and I think the cumulative, it makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think cumulatively would be good, because it will change and it should keep increasing as we get better terms.
And will we do that as well with the Councillor Coffey, we'll do that with the rates penalty interest earnings as well. That will be a cumulative. It's hard to know how it is at the moment, but.
And that was going to be another question. Why is there only July actuals in that other graph?
Because it doesn't get.
Yes. Yeah, so there was a decision by council to not impose rates penalties, and that actually came back into play on the 23rd of March. So you won't see the rates penalties until the following month. That was due to an issue with the rates notices.
One period, yeah. Sorry, Councillor Coffey. Continue.
All right. Look, I think that's all. Just let me check. You know, that's all. Thank you.
Any further questions regarding the finances? Can I have someone move to accept the finances? Move to Councillor Coffey, seconded Councillor Hopper. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. CEO's report. The recommendation that this be received and noted. Is there any questions? This includes the tracking sheet. Can I have someone move to accept the CEO's report if there's no questions? Moved, Councillor Hopper, seconded Councillor Batar. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Social media, it's just for noting purposes. This has come from the Department of Local Government, DCMC. It's just an update. They've put out a fact sheet, so it's not ours, it's the department, so. Any questions regarding the social media stuff? Can I have someone move to note the report? Moved. Deputy Mayor, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Community development update to Council. Any questions? Can someone one? I've got to find one. Any questions before I start? Nope. Can I have someone move the report? Moved, Councillor Batar. Seconded. Councillor Banks. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Public art update. Any questions? Councillor Coffey.
Sorry, Mayor, I might have missed.
Well, you've been it's all been very quiet for a minute. That doesn't surprise me.
So page 262, which goes to library, which I think was in the previous item. Yeah, so if you allow me to ask something.
260, what page, sorry?
Page 262.
Sure.
So it's about, I think, the HSRs. So I think that's a health and safety representative. So we have been talking about work health safety in other areas of the council. So just, I see that we haven't got someone because the previous person left the organisation. So I think it's a pretty important role in all of our business areas. So I'd just like to know what is happening with that representative.
Director Battle?
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. So we have had a couple of sort of senior staff step away for various reasons. So, and we've had some new people come before on that. We'll absolutely get somebody onto that committee ASAP.
Thank you. Nothing further. We'll go to the public art. That's already passed. Any questions regarding the public art? I've got one in regards to the Aboriginal Monument, Director Battle. There's only one application. So are we assessing that one application, or will we go out for further EOIs, noting that there has been some difficulty?
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. So the assessment panel did meet last week, and at this stage it's our intention probably to tweak the EOI that went out, and we'll put it back out. The person, the people who applied will be invited to resubmit. But yeah, I think we just want to clarify the purpose of that funding and what we're looking to achieve with it.
Sure, thank you. Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. Will elected members get to give feedback on the EOI before it goes out?
Yeah, through you. So as per last time, you will have that opportunity to feed in. We also want to do a little bit more consultation with Lara Tipper before we refine it.
Thank you, and thank you for the report on the public art action plan. Councillor Banks. Thank you. Can I have someone move to accept the public art report? Councillor Batar.
I just have one further question, just in regards to the roundabout art that says it's in the queue for 2023. Will we expect to see that in the next financial year, part of 2023?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, that would be the intention. We will need to seek an extension through NTG for that funding, for that project. But yeah, that would be the intention, to have it delivered by the end of the year.
Well, I'd suggest we could say to the Northern Territory Government we need an extension because we're going to put it in the roundabout that they accidentally ripped up.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Director. Someone move. Councillor Banks. And Councillor Batar seconded. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Council's volunteering program. Any questions? Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be very, very careful not to embarrass you, of course. But I only can talk good things about you, Mr. Mayor. You're doing a great job. Now, that'll cost you 20 things. Mr. Mayor, the volunteer thing is a project that was an issue and a topic that I've been on for some time, and it's really important. What I get out of this report is we're looking to go forward for another year, but at the same time, I'm not quite sure if we can receive more information. I'm not quite sure what it's meant when they say we have our own volunteer arrangements and if we move away from what was in place. So is there something that I could benefit from in terms of the answer thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So yes, so the partnership arrangement that we had with Volunteering SANT was for 12 months. That's due to end in June. the person who was in that role has actually resigned from that position. In a meeting with that organisation, it's obviously not worth trying to recruit somebody to that role now, given the limited time that's left. Whilst that arrangement as such won't continue next financial year, what we have done is, in reviewing a couple of the existing positions within community development, is embedding the bulk of that work in one of those existing positions. So, namely, us continuing to recruit volunteers who can work across council more broadly, and just supporting departments to make sure that they're able to take those volunteers and give them a good experience.
Thank you. I think in the discussions gone past, we've mentioned how beneficial, of course, it's acknowledged here, the volunteers. Many of the events here in Alice Springs, which we are well-renowned for, many of our events, usually organised by community service groups like the Rotary Clubs and the Lions Clubs and Apex Clubs in the past. Moving forward, I think there is a need to really address volunteering across, in fact, the nation, really. But in Alice Springs, we, due to our geographical location and our size, it is sort of, and our history with events management and volunteers involvement at that level, I just want to make sure that we're working and moving in unison with first of all, identifying the challenges, but also at the same time giving out solutions. I'm just hopeful that these strategies have got a long-term vision. We've got to capture the volunteers, and we've got to give them a place to work. And I think part of the discussion in the past was that we can form alliances or that we can work in collaboration with other organisations rather than create duplication. But it does, I say this on the record, it does concern me that we have sort of strayed away from the vision or the discussion, albeit 2 or 3 years ago now. But I would be sort of more satisfied if we were working towards really creating a very strong infrastructure for volunteers and leading the way there. Whatever is there is fine. I just think we need to do more. Really, that's my message there.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Anything else regarding the volunteer report? Councillor Coffey?
Yeah, so just following on from the Deputy Mayor, I think I agree that with him that, you know, the volunteer sector is really important, and there is a lack of volunteers in this day and age. And we talked about this with NT Major Events Company as an example, where I think we can support volunteers better, and that's through upskilling them in particular areas, like traffic management is one of those areas where I know some of the clubs that have events, that run events, don't have the required people that are trained in traffic management, for example, and then it's difficult for them to put on their event. So I do wonder about us in council playing a bit of a role there to be more strategic about not just our volunteers, but about how we can link in other volunteers, support them to upskill, perhaps do some training or whatever, which can then ensure that volunteers are used more broadly across the community and for community events and things like that. So I'd like to sort of, you know, it's important for us within council to have volunteers, and they're great and worth their weight in gold, but I do think there's that broader piece that we could look at expanding the program out to. So just wanted to make that comment, but also a question. The funding focused on those three priority volunteer sectors, so I just wondered how we went. Do we have a snapshot of how we went? You know, there's the people with disability, First Nations people and newly arrived migrants. Are we able to get an update on how that went?
Director Battle?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. We're currently in the process of doing an overall acquittal report evaluation for volunteering SANT. And happy to make that available once it's complete. Anecdotally, certainly we've had quite a few volunteers with lived experience of disability who've come through the program, and certainly lots of newly arrived migrants. So we've done very well in those two spaces. And some First Nations as well. But yeah, I'll definitely, I should be able to provide you those exact figures within the next month.
Thank you. I just want to touch on the point that you made around traffic management. Once upon a time, council did fund people to, we paid for the course for people to fund the traffic management. I think that's obviously dispersed now, but I think that it's a conversation we should be having again for that exact reason. Constantly are getting applications for grant funding for traffic management all the time. And so if that could be a cheaper option for us and more sustainable to help fund volunteers to do traffic management. And it's, we're seeing events not happen because of it, and also events shorter because of it. The you know, the night markets down here don't have the parade anymore because of the funding of traffic management. So I certainly agree with the points, Councillor Coffey. Anything further in regards to the volunteer report? Can I have someone move to accept it? Move, Councillor Coffey. Seconded, Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. SFAC minutes. So, just in regards to this one, this is presented just a bit different to how we usually, the RMAC stuff. We usually get the minutes and then the recommendation separately. Can we just...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's always kind of just been this way. I'm not, I'll have to look into that, but yeah, there's never been an accompanying report.
Well, we always have the recommendation separately of every other report. This is the only one that it doesn't happen. It's just
and certainly we can make that consistent, but yeah, it's the first I'm hearing of it.
Thank you. I was there, so I will move the minutes. Is there a seconder for the minutes? Councillor Coffey, you're the chair, you can second them. Is there any questions in regards to the minutes and recommendations? I will just say thank you to the officers provided a different finance report, which tells the story of where SFAC is. And we've got Tennis at the moment sourcing funds for the resurfacing of their courts. So they've actually, initially, it looked like they were going to rip it up and start again. That's not a desire of NT Tennis. It was to cut out the cracks, and it's a much cheaper option, but it's just going to last just as long, so it's certainly not resurfacing the whole lot. Wasn't quite as, compared to the netball courts, it wasn't quite at that stage. So they are sourcing some funds for the resurfacing, and Cricket are also sourcing some funds for Flynn Drive for that oval for lighting. That is at the most overutilised sporting ground in Alice Springs, and we've got the worst lights there. And it is used; those lights are used, I think, 5 nights a week. So it's certainly something that I just want to put in the elected members' minds during budgets. But there are two things that are happening as well. Any other questions in regards to SFAC? No. It's moved by myself, seconded Councillor Coffey. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Technical services update to Council. Thank you, Director. Are there any questions regarding the report? Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. Thanks for the report. Just in terms of the greening strategy, we know that's stalled for a variety of reasons. I was just wondering where we're at with firstly getting a species list together, because that was kind of happening, I thought. Consulting some local people around that, but also, aside from having an officer to progress the tender, how are we going in terms of our tree planting schedule? Because I believe we're trying to get a new species list together, which was the will of council, so that we could kind of grow trees up to be ready for when the strategy rolled out. But we also don't currently have a motion to not use our current species list. So that's sort of what I'm querying, I guess.
Director Andrew?
Yeah, so I'll break that down. So I think that, the, if I'm not mistaken, the will of council, I think it was around August last year, was to not proceed with planting based on the current species list. with the resignation of our environment officer, that the project has kind of stalled. We're about to, we should be getting a new environment officer very, very shortly, with the final stages of that, and things should get moving again. As far as the greening strategy, I mean, that hasn't really progressed, or the species list in lieu of the officer not being here. So.
Any supplementary, Councillor Hopper?
Yeah, I guess we probably just need to formalise that at some point if we're deciding that. I know that was the will of the room at that time because there's sort of this intention that the greening strategy was going to progress and it would maybe be a couple of months of not. But now that it's kind of elongated, we probably need a motion of council to say we don't want to use our current species, like we actually formalise not using our current species list until we have a replacement one. But happy to see what comes back in the next meeting if you're saying it's sort of coming soon. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding Tech Services report, Councillor Coffey?
Just on the shade structure, so I think last meeting we agreed that the last one would go to Pavel Park from memory, is that right?
Yep.
Just wondering how, you know, where's that at, and I know it's only been a month, but how long before that's done?
Yeah, I mean, that's the will and that's still the plan. We're just working through that to make sure it still aligns with what's come through in the Parks Master Plan draft. So the query was asked before the paper went up that was an appropriate park, and it was told yes, but that differs from what the draft report says. So there seems a bit of conflict between the email confirmation that was an appropriate park and what the report says. So I'm just working through that before I push go, so we don't look silly.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Brown.
Just going back to the greening strategy. Have we got some sort of a timeline on when we're going to see something happening again in this area? Because obviously this is one of the first things that we've raised as a new council, and now we're sort of 18 months in and nothing has happened at all. I know that we've had staffing issues and all those sort of things, but it would be nice to know that we've got some sort of start point in mind that's not too far away. In fact, urgently, I'm drawn more and more to the fact, as I'm driving around town, the state of a huge amount of our trees, which we were also to discuss within that greening strategy. And there's a massive amount of sucker growth on our trees, our street trees in general, which are now leading to quite hazardous situations. There are a lot of intersections now where line of sight is interfered with by that growth. And obviously we haven't got the staff or the teams doing that level of maintenance, which is obviously be an arborist's work, but it needs to be addressed with urgency. I mean, as I said, we've raised this 18 months ago, or whatever it was, might be not quite 18 months ago, but so that we've had that level of growth on it as well. We don't need this to run on any longer. We need this greening strategy up and operational with some degree of urgency. I just want to enforce that point.
Thank you. Anything to add there, Director? No. Anything else in regards to the technical services report? No, just a quick question, Director. Hartley Street Exolu still looking for May? Like it's going to be finished?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. And just so elected members are aware, I have spoken to Minister Ubo in regards to the liquid waste ponds, and she'll be here next month, and she'll go. She took the invitation to go for a tour, so she'll go out there, and did make her aware that we're again the only municipality in the Northern Territory that are taking liquid waste. So she's well aware of that. So I'll let you know with any updates there. Can I have someone move the report be noted? Received and noted. Moved, Councillor Brown. Seconded, Deputy Mayor. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Any questions without notice from councillors? General business, Councillor Brown, sporting maintenance.
Fire away, microphone. So, particularly in relation to baseball, having attended there a few weeks ago, I had a discussion with a number of people who took the opportunity to speak to me about their concern about the general level of maintenance of that oval in comparison to the level of effort that are going into other ovals. I mean, obviously, you know, it doesn't have the same traffic as Traeger Park, but when you're backed onto Traeger Park, baseball grounds are not even receiving fertiliser on their grass, just the bare minimum, and a huge amount of it left to the club itself, which is now a small, a reasonably small club. There's some disparity there that I don't think's right. I think, and I think that we need to have a look that we're making sure that we're maintaining all our grounds to a level. And further to that, baseball still has the old lighting. There's been no effort in all our looking at lighting over time. And I think that it should be on the list to be looking at replacing that lighting with LED. Obviously, it makes a huge difference to the cost of running, you know, evening events, and basically all our events are at night. So in future terms for that club, lighting needs to be addressed. I'm not sure of any of them out at the moment, but I would like to think that we had a forward plan somewhere or other for the replacement of those lights and upgrading them to the LED. I think that's about as much as I want to say about it.
Thank you. Director, you want to speak to the maintenance?
Yeah, I'll take the question on notice and provide you some comments back. I think, you know, I agree with your sentiment, though, that all sporting facilities that we propose to maintain, then we should be maintaining them to a similar standard. So I'll find out, you know, what maintenance it's getting and on what schedule and provide that back to you.
Thank you. We've got three here, so we've got roads, fire breaks and fires. Councillor Brown, I'll go to you first and then open it up to others. That's for you.
So you want me to start that one off?
Well, you were first.
Yeah, okay. So obviously we've had fire emergencies just recently, which has obviously highlighted this fact, and of course we've also had the rainfall and the enormous amount of growth that we have. I want to point out a reminder that rural roads, such as Ilpapa Road, Colonel Rose Drive, etc., they also serve as the fire breaks. They also serve when they're not mowed as the point of ignition on more and more occasions. Either, you know, it's not necessarily a cigarette butt out of the wind, but often deliberate lighting. But if you've got a huge growth of grass right up to the very verge of the bitumen, it's very easy to light up. So it has become urgent. An urgency well above the need for mowing and making something look attractive in the town. Those verges need to be mowed, and I think that last Friday's events make that point, unfortunately, very pointedly for some people that were on the receiving end of it. So I'm hoping that council will find a way to prioritise that and may have to adjust mowing. I know that that's not good, but I think that the urgency of this situation requires that we do so. That was the point that I want to make about it.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Director Andrew, you got anything to add there?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate your comments, and I think, yeah, at the moment there's a lot of pressure on mowing in all areas. I think with our slasher being destroyed in a car accident, it has slowed some of the rural slashing of the roads significantly. We've got a new one that's due here. We ordered one straight away. It's a replacement that's due here, hopefully within a week, and then we can proceed with earnest. But I know we've made inquiries about other alternative options with not much luck, so I'll just follow up and make sure if there's anything we can do to speed it up. So.
Those inquiries, are they with the neighbouring councils, Mac and Central Desert, or...?
I'm not aware that we've reached out to them. I think it was more around temporary hireage of slashes or something. But okay. I think it was about the same time frame just to buy one. I think we just buy one to replace, was what we did, to buy the one. We did replace the one we got.
Sure, okay. Anything further, Councillor Brown? Thank you. Councillor Bittar, in regards to more certain information regarding fires?
Earlier on Monday, it was mentioned by the director or representative from Bushfires NT that they were going to be working with the council on doing some community education around preparing for bushfires and working with this council. And I was just wondering if we could have some information about that.
Thanks. Sure. Thank you, Director.
Yeah, so Stephen Hunter from the Fire Department has reached out to us as around doing some, I guess, coordinated advocacy to the community. So we've warmly accepted that invitation. So we're just waiting, I guess, to hear back their plan around how they're going to orchestrate that and how we can be involved. So at this stage, it's very early days, but we're hoping to get it underway shortly.
Thank you. So does that look similar to how Darwin Council do their cyclone stuff. It's just sort of the same advocacy as what we'd be doing with the bushfires.
I'm not entirely sure. Like,
very good base model, though, the way that Darwin City Council do it.
Yeah, we'll take that and I'll have a look. And if that's something we can look to work with, that's a good idea.
Sure. Thank you. Any questions there? Councillor Banks?
Are we having a broad conversation about fire? Are we just going to relate to it in? Because you say it's going to be one kind of.
Yeah, I've got Councillor Coffey next, and I think that we can make that one broad.
Okay, cool. So in regards to that, to understand, like, the topic of fire and in particular fire load with significance to Buffalo in particular has been an ongoing conversation for us and an ongoing concern and a growing concern for the community. I guess what we have to be mindful of if we're going to, we do need to progress this space as far as making sure the community is safer and have the capacity to safeguard, we have to understand that what we face is radically different to what we face, Darwin faces. And so I know that when they have like cyclone cleanup, they do a lot of, annual or maybe several times per year where they allow pick up off the curb stuff. We will need to think about how we can actually foster partnerships with residents to cut the grass, because this year is just unprecedented how fast and widespread the buffalo is becoming, and what we saw over the weekend and tragic set of circumstances is loss of homes, and fortunately not loss of life, but it's a huge risk to the community and fire, and that is to be equated into fuel load around buffalo specifically. So when we get to that point, we're going to have to be very mindful that engaging that's going to come at a cost to council, and even engaging the conversations, like Mayor, I know you've spoken to residents that had a pretty near miss, early this year, Judy Lovell with her block, and you went out and you cited that we've got an ongoing issue with Crown Lands and the lack of responsibility, and we have to be very mindful that those fires that happened there were put down to intentionally lit fires. And so there's a lot of our proximity of our town, in town and then also our rural areas, people are exposed to a huge level of risk because there is a lack of what could be seen as responsibility being taken to cutting and maintaining those fire breaks. So the point, though, on that part of the conversation is that we need to be very mindful that when we push this conversation forward, we're going to need to understand, is one slasher going to be enough, or how are we going to, if we're going to start campaigning, how are we going to meet the community to make sure that we can find those partnerships internally to make sure that we can deliver expectation and prevent fire as a mitigate fire and the risk of fire.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the point around the Crown Land stuff is a massive piece in the puzzle. And I completely agree with you. I think if we look at flood mitigation, the government do a whole lot of work around flood mitigation, but don't think they're doing a whole lot of work around bushfire stuff. So I think that this is a step in the right direction. And understanding the Crown Land piece of why things aren't getting cut or which side of the fence belongs to who, because that instance you spoke about south of the gap, I mean, that's one of the challenges. Everyone just puts that in the too hard basket from the government's point of view, and it doesn't get done. And so I think I completely agree that it is needs to be a part of that ongoing conversation. Director, did you got an answer in regard to this?
It was only a comment for the slash. I think we were able to purchase a new one out of this budget, and we may look to then with insurance claim purchase another one. I think having two, considering we've got tractors that can run multiple, is probably something we're going to look at anyway, just within the current budget. So we've got kind of a backup going forward. So two may not be enough either, but at least it gives us a contingency.
I mean, it's hypothetical at this point in time, and we need to understand it. Mayor, I do think that there is going to be a need to advocate for a declaration of species and the risk of species in Buffalo. So perhaps the reason that we are unable to lobby as significantly as we can is that Buffalo is not recognised as an invasive species underneath of the list. So I can give some thought to that, but I do think that as a council, perhaps if we were to put our weight behind ensuring that would enable resourcing and funding to target that, because it's a pretty monumental issue that we face.
Yeah, and I probably need to just do some research around the buffalo. I know the pastoral industry don't want it to be declared a weed for many reasons, so I don't want to make that on the fly, but I do think that it's certainly part of that bigger picture. You got your light on, Councillor Brown?
Just make a comment re buffalo as an invasive species. Buffalo is an extremely important pasture plant in the pastoral industry, and it supports an enormous part of the pastoral industry. As a pastoralist myself in our area, we run large numbers of cattle on it. It's a very useful pasture. Like any pasture that's not controlled, it can be problematic. It is problematic. And then when you have a year of high, well, not that we had that much this year, but the sort of season, the kind of season we have, produced a fuel load a lot higher than normal. There's no doubt about that. So obviously, it needs some management, but it doesn't matter whether it's buffalo or it's any other kind of growth. It needs management, and the issues are around the management of fire breaks. And when it comes to the actual town itself, well, a lot of the blocks back onto hills, etc., which are obviously public land, but and difficult because in most cases there's no actual access into the rear of those properties. So it's something that does need to discuss. In rural area, obviously, you have to have a 4 metre firebreak around your house, and it's a requirement. Whereas in the municipality, you can't even get the word out, we have the issue of those public land adjoining, right, you know, coming right up to the houses and often covered with buffalo, spinifex, whatever else. Basically, very dangerous situation that needs to be dealt with in some way, but it'd be difficult to see that we could ever reach a situation where we would start putting rotors or loaders or anything through a lot of those areas because they're often on the hillsides. So obviously fire breaks would have to be something as a community that probably owners of the blocks themselves would have to take on onto public land. So it's a discussion that needs to be held, there's no doubt about that.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Going to make a comment about us getting into the weeds, but doesn't seem. Councillor Coffey.
So some of this has been touched on, but I was coming at it from a, I suppose, a broader strategic level, and it's about what is our responsibility as council, firstly, in terms of bushfires. And then how can we assist and support other agencies like Bushfires NT and others to suppress fires and reduce the risk of fires, you know, around town? Given that there's a lot of vacant land, some of it's owned by us, some by NTG. I mean, there's the Todd River that we look after through an MOU. So there's a lot of, you know, sort of complexities about some of this, but I don't have a good understanding of what our role is in all of this. You know, if you look at the Bushfire Management Act, they don't really talk about councils much. I think it would be useful just to go back a step and sort of understand what is our role, what is our responsibility. Should we be playing more of a role to protect the municipality of Alice Springs? What can we do in terms of risk reduction and some of those sorts of things? I get that there's some immediate priorities like the slashing of rural roads and things like that. But I wonder if there's a broader discussion perhaps with Bushfires NT about some of those issues that people have raised around this table here today.
Sure. Mr. CEO, have you got anything to add to that about the what our responsibility is in regards to that?
I'd have to go back and research, but I think that's the place to start, is always understanding responsibilities of the various parties and then understanding, well, based on those responsibilities, how do we actually move forward? So I think that's a really good place to start. I don't have the background on this, but certainly myself and Director Andrew can have a chat about that and work out a way forward.
Sure. Director, have you got anything to add to that point? So just to formalise the request, I suppose, does anything need to be resolved, or are you happy to just...
I'd suggest maybe you have a resolution about the CEO investigate the role of council and other bodies in bushfire management, and come back to council with an indication of priority actions in this regard or something like that.
And I think that might capture just a lot of the conversation around the room. I'll just go to the Deputy Mayor while those words are getting finalised, Mr. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, situations like this, whether it's where it's associated with trees falling on houses because of storms, whether it's associated with flood, fire, all of those things, much of it does come back to our core business, and that relates to the amount of infrastructure and how we invest into our infrastructure to be able to deal with those situations, whether it's a November microburst storm or whether it's a fire through what we've just seen and have always carried the risk. I think we've just got to, as a council, have collaborations, have all that in place, but also when we look at budgets coming up, we've got to look at the machinery that we've got, and we know seasonally these things happen. We know that following a wet patch, we're going to have a lot of fuel in fuel stocks, really, and that's the risk that we take. So we've got to be able to get ready and don't get caught out. We can't be surprised every time we have a rain spell, then we have, as a result of that, fuel loads, and that's what happens. But happens all the time. It's happened for years. We, I think, as a council, need to just start looking at how we can be more prepared, you know, on a seasonal basis. And if it doesn't happen at that predicted time, well, that's great. We wait when it happens. But at least we've got resources. At least we've got the right machinery. At least we're not caught behind. And if we have to, then we can work with other organisations, subcontract out and do all that sort of thing. But it is seasonal, and we've got to be able to take it on. Things like the November storm, you can't predict that. But a lot of trees fell down on homes, and we did a lot of good things to help. The community came together. But things you can do much about is the buffle grass and the fuel loads that exist after a wet patch. So, and of course, we've always talked about getting the homeowner or the occupant to mow their own verge and all those sort of things. So, anything we can do to help strengthen our resources and manage our resources better, I think we should look at adopting, as well as working in collaboration and strengthening the team. So this is all sounding pretty good, but I just wanted to sort of say that out loud as well.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. There is a motion on the screen. Councillor Coffey spoke about a strategic point of view. Does that capture what you've spoken about?
Yes, thank you. Happy to move that.
There's a mover, is there? Seconder or any discussion?
So, just part of the conversation we're having, is it also that we want to have a forum with Bushfires NT or get this first?
I think we get this first and then go from there. Happy with that, Councillor Hopper? Yeah. Is it seconder? Councillor Brown? Any further discussion? CEO investigate the respective roles and responsibilities of council and other bodies in relation to bushfire management. Provide a report to council with these findings. Moved, Councillor Coffey. Seconded, Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you. Deputy Mayor, support for fire affected family.
Thank you. Look, in general, I think it's best to approach this issue in a broader sense. I think in general we saw that in November after the microburst storm, we got behind the community. The community got behind itself and rallied. In situations where someone is affected by fire or flood, and where where we can assist, I think, largely is in the area of waste management, where there's a need to get rid of a lot of the get rid of all of the rubbish that might have been left as a result of the damage. Maybe we can consider on an operational level. I'm just suggesting it out loud that we, if ever there was a formal request, maybe we can consider favourably that waste management fees could be perhaps deferred or waived. But other than that, I think we'll address the other issue in a more detailed way maybe later on, but I'll just leave it at that for the moment. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And please forward any information from operational or a discretionary fund that we can have a look at, Deputy Mayor. Thank you. Councillor Hopper.
Council also has some kind of compassionate policy around rates and stuff too, don't we? In terms
of your
hardship. Yep.
Yep. In the Act.
Yep.
Yep. Thank you. Anything further, Deputy Mayor?
No, thank you. Other than you've done a great job today, I'm sure.
Keep everyone happy.
Thank you. Well, I'm not in trouble. That's all that matters.
Matters for media attention will be dealt with by the media present. The next ordinary meeting will be Wednesday, the 26th of April, 2023, the day after Anzac Day. There being no other business, I ask for a motion to close this meeting. Moved, Councillor Hopper. Seconded, Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you.